Our live music here in Studio S today has been performed by Dearborn's Jeff Karub. Jeff is a reporter for the Associated Press in Detroit by day, but after hours, it's a different thing. He's a singer-songwriter. Let's listen to Jeff's Made by Motown.
State, the other across the sea. Both took a shot at achieving their dreams by assembling Model Ts. 5,000 parts and $5 a day, it was tough yet enough to take home. Still, the best thing they built was not by their hands, but the foundation for those yet to come. For better or worse, and we've seen much of both after a century, I'm still proud to say that they helped to make Motown. Motown helped to make me. Music is way out of the plants, with so many places to play. There was Olympia, an orchestra hall, and Motown's famed Studio A. He had midnight sessions and chart-topping sides, the horn that you hear on Grapevine. From Marvin to Stevie, the Supremes and the Tops, it was one grooving assembly line. For better or worse, and we've seen much of both after a century, I'm still proud to say that they helped to make Motown. Motown helped to make me. Songs, the product, hard working kin. Well, sometimes I feel like the unlikely child of Henry Ford and Aretha Franklin. For better or worse, and we've seen much of both after a century, I'm still proud to say that they helped to make Motown. Motown helped to make me. For better or worse, and we've seen much both after a century, I'm still proud to say that they helped to make Motown. Motown helped to make me. I'm still proud to say that they helped to make Motown. Motown helped to make me.
Jeff Karub on Current State here on 90.5 WKAR. Jeff's been playing for us all hour on the program. Last fall, Jeff's Coming Home to Music project was awarded a Knight Foundation grant to put on a series of house concerts in Detroit, and he joins us now to tell us about it. Welcome. You've been sounding great.
Thank you, Mark. Great to be here.
You have a nice guitar there. Made by Motown is all about Michigan and Detroit. Are your other songs as Michigan-centric as that one?
Maybe not so upfront, not so literally.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't help where you're from. This is the state I'm from, and that's the city I grew up around. But no, that really is the most, I think, personal and direct piece of writing, songwriting, that I've done, where I really am doing something that's approaching 100% true, autobiographical and all that.
Yeah. How long did it take to create that song?
Well, you know, every song is different. It's like a baby. Every baby's different. There are no favorites. But that one actually kind of wrote itself backwards. I thought of the line of being an unlikely child of Aretha Franklin and Henry Ford for a lot of reasons. And I kind of wrote it backwards. And that happens sometimes too. With that one, you know, part of the verse came first. Sometimes a chorus will come first. But once I got that idea and said, okay, now I think I can tell this story that goes from my grandfather's generation to my father's generation to me, it really went very quickly.
Uh-huh. How? Tell us about the Coming Home Music Project. What's your vision for that?
Well, there are house concerts happening all over the city, the state, and the country. It's not something widely known, but I think it's growing in acceptance. What I really want to do there is expose more people to the homegrown music of Detroit or music from elsewhere being played in Detroit. House concerts, that's where music began, but we kind of have gotten away from that. We think that, you know, the best place to play is a place with the biggest marquee. But the reality is there's lots of great music. I don't need to tell you, it's no secret. There's been a lot of great music of all genres coming out of Detroit. And I like the idea of democratizing the process and putting these concerts in a rotating series of homes where you don't need to have room for 100. You don't need a grand ballroom. What you need is a living room that can fit 20 to 30 people. I've done these shows. I've played these shows, and they work.
How will you choose the artists who perform?
Well, the great thing about this is they're coming to me. Now, I will do my own homework. I'm a journalist by day. I do research, but I've already heard from people. There's a great jazz artist in the Detroit area who's already approached me. There's a duo that is Bay Area based now, but the woman in the duo comes from Lansing. So I'm hoping to get her involved. There are spoken word artists in Detroit. There are jazz, classical, folk artists. I know a lot of them because I play with them or open for them. So we're already, even though the first concert won't be until September, we already have people who have stepped up to offer to host the concert and also to play.
How is it these have become so much more prevalent in recent years? House concerts, I mean.
Well, there's probably myriad reasons for it. I can say one reason has to be that as the business of music, the music industry has changed. I think people are looking for something a little more authentic, something a little more organic. You know, as we move toward this world of social media and the 24-hour information age, there's something that is lacking in music, and that's the direct connection, the intimate connection with an audience. And I really applaud the Knight Foundation for recognizing that putting concerts in homes may not be revolutionary or huge, but it's a small thing that catches fire and grows. And there's, to me, I think once you attend a house concert, you see the magic. And there's not a single house concert that someone in that audience doesn't say, "This is awesome. I've never been here. This is awesome. I want to host one."
Well, talk about the ultimate intimacy, though. I mean, that's probably the charm of the whole thing. Does a house concert always have to be in somebody's home?
No. I mean, by definition, it probably should be. But I've done lots of house-style concerts. And sometimes people say, you know what? I know I could do 20 people in my room, but I want to have this in my church, not in the sanctuary, but in the parlor. I've done parlor concerts in churches, like my church, Dearborn First United Methodist Church. So by definition, it doesn't have to be, but there's sort of you want to make sure you have that vibe, that intimacy, that informality, that idea that, you know, you're not sitting on your hands, you're listening, you're interacting without heckling.
Mm-hmm. What do you want to avoid when hosting a house concert?
Well, if you normally sit around your house in your underwear, I'd rather that you didn't for these shows.
Make sure the toilets work. Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And how should the toilet paper be? Should it be? I've been married for 18 years. I don't remember how to do that. But I always put the seat down. Anyway, you want to realize that, yes, it's informal, and yes, it's in someone's home. But, you know, turn off the big screen TV. If you want this to be a party, start the party after the concert. You know, we want to have it. We want to keep this fun. This is sort of the spirit of house concerts. But you also want to remember that you came to hear some good music that you may have never heard before.
You'll receive $8,000 from the Knight Foundation to put this on, but you need to match the funds first. Where are you with that goal?
Well, I think we're about a quarter of the way there. And we've only just put this out through informal channels. You know, I've mentioned it to friends and family. I've put things on the Coming Home to Music Facebook page. People can find it, Coming Home to Music. But we want to ramp this up now that the new year is upon us. We have until September to match that $8,000. So we plan to have some donor concerts. We plan to do a Kickstarter or another crowdfunded campaign because those are popular these days. I just don't think that should be your only method of fundraising. Mm-hmm. There's no sense in thinking that there's one good way to do this. Just talking about it and promoting it with people, it really does catch people by surprise.
Tell us about your musical background exactly.
Well, I started playing violin before I can remember. I was 3. And I actually started at the Detroit Community Music School, which no longer exists. It was in the Cass Quarter. But music is in my blood. It's in my genes, as you can hear from the song made by Motown. My father is a classical French horn player, still alive and kicking and playing at 83. But he played with the Detroit Symphony Orchestra, and he played on many, many Motown records when they were recording in their Detroit heyday. So it's in the blood. And I picked up instrument after instrument, and I guess I keep trying until I get it right.
Well, you're a great mandolin player and guitar player. You've got a new collection of songs, or a recent collection of songs, that's just out. You're going to play us out with a track from that. What are we going to hear here?
This is from my upcoming EP, or short CD. The CD's called Find a Shore, and this song is called And We Go.
And We Go. Jeff Karub on Current State.
The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here. But you never know what long ago words will linger or disappear. An old address, watch time compress. No way to know just what survives. A cosmic coin flips on and on. Faith of fate.
I'm Mark Bayshore. Thank you for joining us for Current State on WKAR. Have a great weekend.
And we go. And we go. Take a breath, say a prayer, be prepared for something we just don't know. Gotta find some kind of divine intervention.